Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Please be seated. The word of God from the Holy Gospel this morning found in St. Luke, the 20th chapter. Jesus said, "Now he is not the God of the dead, but of the living, for all live to him." This is God's word. It's real easy when reading the Bible, listening to the Bible, to get hung up on a certain detail of the text and miss the bigger picture. Luke 20, 27 to 40, our gospel for today, is one of those texts where we might not like a certain part of it, and therefore we miss out on the big picture. It seems that Jesus is saying today in our gospel that my wife will not be my wife in heaven. I don't like that, because I like my wife. I prefer life with my wife to my life without my wife. You can ask my mom. She's here today. My life without a wife. Ooh, that was not good. She sorted me out. I'd like to think that eternity, which is to be blessed and perfect, would include a measure of the happiness we find here on earth. And I find my wife to be one of the things that brings me great joy and happiness in this world. But now Jesus says, the sons of this age marry and are given in marriage, but that's not how it's going to be in heaven. Maybe you've encountered this text before. Boy, that's a little uncomfortable, isn't it? Does that mean we're not going to be married to each other? We won't be husband and wife anymore? Think of the words we use in our marriage vows. They're very, very clear. Especially when you're married in the church, you make that promise before God. We've all said it in one form or another, that we take this man, this woman, to be our husband, our wife, to love, honor, cherish, richer for poorer, sickness and in health, all these things, till death do us part. Not forever, till death parts us. And then you are released from that vow that you made before God to be faithful to your spouse upon death. That vow has come to an end. Now, I'm sure some of you who are widows or widowers still think of your spouse and you think, no, I will always love my departed husband, my departed wife. I will always love that one and think of them as my spouse. You know what? That's great. That's fine. That's wonderful. But that person is also free in the gospel to take another spouse, another husband, another wife, and to do so without sin. Now, the Sadducees in our gospel today, they're trying to lay a trap for Jesus. Now, don't confuse the Sadducees with the Pharisees. We kind of lump them all together because they're antagonists of Jesus. The Sadducees were a distinct group who, as Luke tells us in our gospel, they denied the resurrection. They saw life as occurring here in this world, in this moment, and then it's done. There is no resurrection of the dead. The bodies that die are not raised to life. And so they tell this hypothetical story to Jesus about this woman. Probably doesn't really exist. She marries a man and then he dies and she has no children. Of course, in biblical times, that would have been incredibly important, that you have an heir to pass on the family to. Well, a woman dies, her husband dies, she has no sons. So the man's brother marries her, no kids. He dies, the third brother marries her, still no kids, and he dies. Fourth brother, fifth brother, sixth brother, seventh brother. You got to think this woman's sick of this family by then. No children. And the Sadducees ask, now, whose wife will she be in heaven? Is she going to be the first guy's wife? Is she going to be the last guy's wife? Is she going to be a wife to all of them in heaven? But Jesus then challenges them to look past marriage to recognize something that we're guilty of forgetting as well. And that is, what awaits us in eternity is far better than what we have here on earth. In other words, we live as Christians here and now, but the best part of being a Christian is yet to come for each and every one of us. And that is because there is a resurrection. Those who die in Christ will live. And they will live forever. You know, that reality is central to who we are as Christians. You know what? A lot of us are kind of modern day Sadducees who deny the resurrection. It's not that we don't believe Jesus rose from the dead or anything, but we never talk about the resurrection. We talk about eternity in entirely the wrong way. If you were to be stopped on the street by someone at random, they say, "Hey, I hear you're a Christian. What do you Christians believe happens when you die?" Probably 9 out of 10 of you, 99% of you would say, "Well, as a Christian, I believe that when I die, I'll go to heaven." That's not wrong, but it is woefully incomplete. I want you to think back to the Apostles' Creed we just said a moment ago. Did we say anything in there about going to heaven when we die? We mentioned eternal life, but what did we mention first? We said, "I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting." Because that life everlasting means life with a body, life with flesh and bone and breath and sight and sound and smell. But all those things as we've never experienced them before. Because here in this world, they're tainted by sin. But when Christ returns and raises us to life, we will be made perfect as He is perfect. So each of you have a challenge. If someone asks you what you believe as a Christian, do them one better than saying, "I'm going to die and go to heaven." Say that when I die, Jesus will return to raise me to life, to live with Him forever. This body, this broken down body, I know growing up here, some of you still think of me as a kid. My kids don't think of me as a kid. They think I'm old. Okay? And but I'm starting to notice some of the things about this body. They're starting to let me down. Harder and harder to lose the weight, which I've been struggling with for years. Blood pressure's an issue, cholesterol, all these different things that it gets harder and harder. It does mean, believe it or not, and I know those of you who've known me since I was a kid don't want to hear it because of the implication for you. If I'm getting old, some of you, but same for all, we're all in the same boat, aren't we? Bodies failing. Bodies that break down, they get sick, they get diseased, they die. And yet, the salvation that Jesus accomplished for you upon the cross is so complete that He did come down from the cross only to be risen on the third day to live. Just as Jesus died and now Jesus lives, so yes, you will die. But then, you will live. How does the Bible like to describe that life in eternity with Christ forever? It describes it as being like a marriage. Some of you are familiar with Ephesians 5. That's that really verse. Another one we don't really like. "Wives, submit to your husbands as to the Lord. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church." All this talk about submitting and sacrificing, it makes us a little queasy. But every earthly marriage, every one of them, is meant to point to foreshadow something greater. Because you see, you will be married in heaven, or we will all together be married. I don't mean to each other. That would be weird. No. Scripture calls us the bride of Christ. Jesus himself does when he tells these parables of a wedding banquet. Revelation is full of this language. The marriage supper of the Lamb, chapter 19, where all are invited to rejoice and celebrate at the marriage supper of the Lamb. And who is the Lamb going to marry? Well, Revelation 21, the holy Jerusalem John sees coming down out of heaven as a bride adorned for her husband. The church is the bride of Christ. And we can say this with certainty, that our experience, our life, our eternity in heaven will be far, far greater than anything we have experienced on this earth. How can it not be? Even better than our earthly marriages. Here's what I do know for sure. Sin has affected every relationship I have, even my marriage. Probably has for you too. In fact, I know it has for you too. I love and adore and cherish my wife, but you know what? There's sin in our marriage. Sometimes, believe it or not, we drive each other nuts. I bet the same is true of every married couple in here or anyone who has been married. And you know why that is? Sometimes I'm thinking to myself, why in the world did I marry you? She's not here this morning, so hopefully she listens to it later. I know she's saying the same thing. What in the world was I thinking when I married you? Because we're sinners. We're broken. We're hurting. We're evil to our core, corrupt with sin. And sinful people are going to do what sinful people do. You know what that is? They sin. In their marriages, as fathers and mothers, as children, as friends, as neighbors, as pastors, as church members, in whatever relationship we are, there will be sin. So, for however great I think my marriage to my wife is here on earth, don't get me wrong, I am so thankful for that gift every day. It's not perfect. But in heaven, it will be. The relationship I have with my wife, and that each of you who are married will have with your spouse, it will be perfect. But you know what? It won't just be perfect with your spouse. It'll be perfect with everyone. Everyone. You know, I mentioned it's not just marriage. It's fathers and mothers and children and friends and neighbors and brothers and sisters and pastors and congregations. We all have brokenness, but you know what? Because Jesus lives and we will live in perfection, it'll all be gone. Our relationships will be perfect. Not only will I have a perfect relationship with my spouse, with Heather, I will have a perfect relationship with each and every one of you and with all the company of heaven, with all the saints of all eternity, as we talked about all the saints last week, with all of the church together as one. We will live in unity and we will be loved by our bridegroom, Jesus Christ, who loved us to the point of laying down his life for us. And we will love him perfectly for all eternity. That's the point Jesus is getting at in our gospel today. We get hung up on the thing about marriage, what the implications of that might be for us for eternity. We don't quite know. He just says we don't marry and we're not given to one another in marriage in eternity. That's what happens in this age. But we are children, sons of the resurrection. And that means life is what awaits us. That the very best of what God has for us awaits us is yet to come. And that life that we speak of, that everlasting life we confess together in the creed, it's not a floating around as spirits on the clouds with halos and wings and strumming harps kind of life. It's real life. More real, more perfect, more incredible than we can even begin to fathom. Jesus reminded us in our gospel today, he pointed us back to our Old Testament reading from Exodus 3, where Moses encounters the Lord in a burning bush, and that God says that he is the God of Abraham, of Isaac, and of Jacob. I am who I am. Tell the people I am has sent you. Just as he is a God who has always been, is now, and will always be the great I am, so those who are brought into him by his saving love endure for eternity. He's the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, as Jesus says. He's not the God of the dead. He's the God of the living. Because if you are in God, if you are in the Lord, and you are baptized into him with his name put on you, you live to him and in him and through him. Now and for always. Poor Sadducees missed out on the best part. Well, they missed on the part that Jesus was the Messiah in the first place, but to deny that there is life for you and for me is to really deny that salvation ever really happened. What was it that came into the world when Adam and Eve ate forbidden fruit and God cast them out of the garden, the curse of sin was placed on them? What was it that cursed them, that brought them into the world? Death. Death was the curse. And unless death is defeated by Christ our Lord, salvation isn't complete. But thanks be to God, he has overcome the grave. He does live. He does reign for all eternity. He does sit at the Father's right hand, and yet also reign and dwell with us in his word and sacrament here today. This King of heaven comes to you in bread and wine to feed you and nourish you with his very body and blood to give you life. Real life. Thanks be to God for the life that is ours now and the life that awaits us. And God grant that we would always know of this life, put our hope in this life, and confess this life to all that we meet, that they may know Jesus is Lord. And our Lord is not the God of the dead. He's the God of the living. Thanks be to God, we are among the living as well. Amen. The peace of God which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.